Blog Talk Radio.
On IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. It is 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night. It's been a while since we've done a show on a regular scheduled time, and glad to be on the air tonight. It's been a while again, and as promised, I'm trying to get back to regular shows. It's just been, I'll tell you, a tough 2020 year for a lot of people, and it doesn't exclude myself. 646-652-4479 is the number. And as usual, we try to start the show off by giving a few shout-outs to some of the social media pages that we participate on as a group. And myself and my co-hosts we're members of. So that being said, let's go ahead and say what's going on to Falcons Nation on Facebook, Dirty Bird Nation, Atlanta Bird Gang, We Are the G, the Savage Dogs of UGA, New Pack City, which I'm doing a Facebook Live currently, Atlanta Hawks Nation, Hawks Nation, Atlanta Braves Fan Group, Tomahawk Talk, Atlanta FC Fans, and the Atlanta Dream page. What's going on, everybody? Thanks for your support up till now. Of course, you can listen to Around the ATL on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Radio.com, on and on. All you got to do is type in Around the ATL and listen to past episodes. But please do the following. Follow on Instagram and Facebook under IMTM Worldwide Radio. That is the network that we broadcast off of for Around the ATL. I want to say shout out to the Okan Twins, who are, I think this is their third week in Nigeria right now, working on continuing their foothold on the Nigerian film and television industry there in Africa. And I believe they have something coming up in January, but we might still get something going on in December. We'll see. But the Okan Twins are doing big things, and 2021 is going to be a great year for them. Be sure to go by the page of the Originative brand on Instagram. That's sponsor for tonight's show. He actually, the owner, Jamal Price, of course, the founder of the New Pack City page, has some new projects coming up, so you need to go by and visit his page. But also, if you're trying to get branded gear for your Atlanta teams, whether it be the Hawks or the Braves or the Falcons, make sure you hit them up. Make sure you let them know that Around the ATL sent you. Now, tonight we will maybe not have our co-host Jordan Jackson on the show tonight. As I said, it's been a while since we've done a show. And, you know, our schedules, you know, have been all over the place and whatnot. And it's just been a difficult year all the way around. So not sure if we're going to be able to have him in, but want to give him a shout out as well. Jordan and I, we're working on a third season of Around the ATL, believe it or not. Big time stuff going on there. That being said, we're going to go ahead and get started. Now, tonight's show, I'm going to go as long as I can. I kind of said I was going to do a two-hour show. We'll see what happens tonight. But it's going to be all Hawks talk. So, again, if you're an Atlanta Hawks fan and you love talking about the Atlanta Hawks and you're eager to talk about the Atlanta Hawks, tonight will be the night to do it. Let's see if I can. Well, I've got a couple people looking on here. Let's see. And actually, we do have a caller. So let's go ahead and get the segment started. And as usual, gotta do it. We gotta get back into it. It's been a while, so I'm trying to set this up. Here we go. All right, let's get this started, y'all.
Oh,
that music, you know we are talking about the Atlanta Hawks, talking about Ice Trade the Game by Amigos. So a lot has happened this offseason. Of course, this is the most different, most unique offseason of all time because of the pandemic. The seasons kind of running into each other, really one after the other has happened. And it's different. And there's a lot of sacrifices across the board that's had to be made to make this upcoming season happen. They shaved off 10 games, you know. So it's going to be different. Also, no fans being in the arenas. That's going to be different. So there's going to be a lot of changes to get used to. And, of course, on that change note, there's a lot of players that are not playing with the same teams that they were a year ago. You knew that was going to happen to an extent, but I don't think we knew it was going to be as, I wouldn't say drastic, but it's different to see a lot of players that are on the side of you've known them for 10 years plus being on the same team and now they're not. And it's going to get a little, you know, taken used to. But then also you have players that are solidified with the teams that they were drafted by. And we might talk about that a little bit, but I want to try to concentrate on the Hawks tonight for sure. So we're going to talk about the draft. We're going to talk about free agency. We're going to talk about the upcoming season. Now, so far, the Hawks have only played two preseason games so far, both against the same team, both against a team that, you know, we've had some issues against, you know, the last few years. So it was interesting to see the difference between first game and after that team had not played a game, literally, since almost 9 months ago, basically, right? To the second game where it looks like they were more themselves as a squad put together. So that was definitely a nice thing to see as far as transition, because a lot of people, of course, you know, we were just waiting for a basketball game for such a long time. And we, you know, at least part of the fan base that is hopeful and excited, you know, we wanted to see, you know, but we didn't get to see that, of course, that first game. And a lot of people took it drastically the wrong end. And I still am not understanding that. And it's almost as if, again, I've said this for the last few years, it's almost as if people have never played basketball before, like ever. and the reactions I was reading, the reactions I was seeing on people's lives and Instagram, it was just crazy talk, you know, as far as expectations and reality, you know. But game two kind of shut all that up, because all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, but it's like, well, you didn't really believe then, did you? You weren't really thinking straight, because here's what you're saying. And I think a lot of people forget that once you type it, that is what you said. Unless somebody kidnapped you, cut your hands off, and typing these things for you, you said those things 3 years ago, 2 years ago, or yesterday. You know, and people have a right to hold you accountable for what you say. You said it. You weren't joking. You know, it's tone and context. And I continue to use that word context over a period of time, especially as an Atlanta fan overall. 646-652-4479 is the number. Actually, I believe I have a caller. Let's go ahead and bring them in real quick, see what they have to say. Good evening, caller. Go ahead and tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's DJ N calling from College Park, man. What's up with you?
Hey, what's going on with you, man?
Man, ain't nothing, man. Just want to talk about the Hawks. That's it.
Cool. That's what we're here for tonight. I'm going to do it as long as I can tonight. We'll see how many hours I can get in. So what do you think? Okay, so the draft, free agency, the upcoming season. I know, I just mentioned on the intro, we've only played two preseason games, but what you've seen in the two games and some of the players that were out there for the minutes that they played, what you think? I know it's this preseason, but what you think so far?
I like the new additions. I like Capella. Capella has been the kind of bright spot for me. He cleaning up the glass, he's shooting at a high percentage. And, yeah, Capella has been the best addition to me. When it comes to Bogdanovich and Gallinari, I got to see a little bit more from them. But, you know, otherwise, I mean – it's basically the same kind of philosophy, and that's just to kind of rely on Trey and his playmaking, and also shoot a bunch of threes, which I really don't like. But you know, it. I guess if we win, we win. But you know, if we lose, it's the same old thing. So that's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, well, and I kind of said this after the first game, in that I didn't get to see the whole first game at first. I had to go back and watch it after work or whatever. And I was like, I'm going to have to see more, because just from that first game, I didn't see basically kind of what you said to an extent. I didn't see any philosophical changes, but that was one game and everybody not there. Second game, people are hitting their shots. They're looking a little bit more fresh. But then again, I'm like, well, I need to see more, because, again, coming into this season, there needs to be a little bit more of a difference from the last couple of years. Because, again, 2 years ago, I kind of said, I was like, year one, okay, you can scratch year one. That's year one. But year two, you have to be integrating something, because it's like, what are you waiting for? So year three, like, really, what are you waiting for? Trey Young, I keep saying, we don't need to be wasting these years of Trey Young. That's silly to me. And these moves that were made this offseason showed, okay, where they're trying to make sure that doesn't happen. But, again, that it always will come back to coaching to say, okay, we got to be able to play some defense. And offense wasn't an issue last year, except for we couldn't hit no shots. But we still scored. If we hit shots, we're going to win more games, but we still got to stop people. And I haven't seen anything on that end yet. Now, again, we don't have everybody yet. But like you said, Clint Capella is going to, like, change a lot in the middle just because of his defensive rebounding ability and, you know, contending against the other team getting second shots and whatnot. But, yeah, I'm wanting to see some more over this preseason to say, okay, now that's different. Okay, that's definitely different, you know, in regards to play calling and just moving on the court, things of that nature. So I'm not worried yet or anything. It's just two games in the preseason. But, you know, we get to December 23rd and we still ain't – it could be holding back for the regular season, yeah, but I still want to see some stuff.
Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing – well, two things that I'm concerned with is reliance on the three. We, in the last game that we played, we shot 43 threes. And to me, that's a little concerning. And in the first game, 32. And I'm more, you know, less. We got Capella, we got John Collins. Let's get it to them more. And let's get it to them more in the paint. Let's get the higher percentage shots, so that, you know, we don't have to live and die by the three. Because, you know, and I know over the years, especially the latter end of Bud's reign when he was here, there were times when, you know, we would win, you know, if we shot a high percentage from three. There were times when we didn't shoot that high percentage, where we shot maybe like 35 to 40 something threes, and we only shoot maybe like 15%, and we get blown out. So living and die by the three, I don't like that philosophy. I think we got the people in the middle, you know, to cut down those threes. I would love to see us cut down our threes to around 30. I think, to me, that's, it may be far fetched, but you know. I just like to see us, you know, driving more to the hole, getting to the line, and feeding our big men. And also another area concerning the turnovers from Trae Young. We talk first game 6 turnovers, and in the last game 8. And that's not gonna, you're not going to so far in the playoffs, turning the ball over.
Well,
like that.
Again, now this is preseason. Right now, he's just getting used to playing with these. I mean, there's a lot of new people on the court, and he's trying to make plays. So I'm not going to worry about. He's not going to average six turnovers in the regular season. He hasn't done that ever in his career yet. So I'm not worried about that. I mean, even Chris Paul and certain others, Steve Nash has had, you know, games where they've had four, five, six turnovers in a game because they're trying to – I mean, especially if you're getting 10, 12 assists, you're going to have some turnovers. Magic Johnson had turnovers. I'm not worried about that. The three-point part, yes. I would rather them shoot 25 three-pointers a game if they got down to it. Because now, besides John Collins, you do have Clint Capella that you can dump it down to, and he can hit a blade hook. He can get some position. He has some moves down there. And John Collins, he's always a mismatch with anybody he has, and we never give him the ball. And it's amazing to me. Again, myself and my co-host Jordan Jackson, the one game we made to the last season was that Dallas game. And one time they dumped it into John Collins. They doubled him. He passed it to Trey for a wide-open three. Of course, Trey hit it. And I'm like, how come they can't do that, like, some of the time? I'm not saying all the time, but there's not even an effort for it. And we're just going to keep shooting threes. And that is a worry for me. And it's not like we don't have the capability of doing it. And it doesn't even have to be all the time certain big men. It could be Hunter, you know, on somebody if there's a mismatch off of a switch or something. But it's like we don't even try to do it. It baffles me because we've had enough post-up people over the last years to where you can at least dump it down and see what happens, you know, and we don't even try. So that is 43 is a lot of three-pointers, like for real, even in preseason. Now, again, I think that was a result of that first game and them not shooting well, and they wanted to prove that they can shoot. I think that was it more so than anything, and I guess Coach Pierce was like, yeah, y'all go ahead and shoot that ball. But yeah, I don't want to see 43 threes all year long. That's not good basketball.
And when you look at the box scores of last year, I mean, that was a recurring thing. You know, 30 plus threes a game, and I just don't want to, you know, see that, and especially, you know, I keep getting on Kevin Herter, but I mean, I just want his game to evolve more, you know, than being, you know, just a 3-point shooter. You know, I know he can get to the basket. I know he can, you know, shoot mid-range shots. It just seemed like he's relying more, well, too reliant on threes. And also, when you talk about getting it down to the post, I think DeAndre Hunter. If you look at his game, the different games that I've noticed, when he gets down to the post, it's pretty strong. DeAndre Hunter is really underrated post player, and I think that's another option instead of, you know, let's pass it around and shoot and waiting in the corner for someone to pass it to you to shoot threes.
Yeah, it's unnerving seeing those guys just stand around there. As far as Kevin goes, I think this year I'm hoping and praying he'll just be aggressive. That's all we need from him. He has all the skills and abilities in the world. He just has to do it all the time. Hunter, he did it in college as far as doing some post-ups. And, again, we're just talking about mismatches or him just overpowering his man. And it doesn't even have to be like a true post-up. It could be dump the ball low, let him, you know, let him turn around to face the basket and see what moves he can make and make it a more of a high percentage shot from 10 feet out rather than, again, being out there 30 feet away and, you know, shooting a jumper or whatnot. I just want to see some integration of something different than we've seen the last 2 years. I don't care what it is at this point. I just need to see something that other teams are not just plain old expecting. And like you said, at the end of the day, relying on just Trae Young. Because once Trae – now, the thing is, with the players that we got, it won't be the same as if when Trae comes off the court, we're down by 30 anymore. We will have the backups to, you know, kind of – keep things afloat or come back if we have to, if we have a deficit in the bench. So we have a bench that can really kind of do that now, but I still would rather see some kind of offensive flow of some sort. 646-652-4479. I actually got another caller on the line. Let's go ahead and bring him in real quick. See who that is. Good evening, caller. Go ahead and tell us your name and where you're calling from. Caller, you're live.
Oh, is that me? Is that me?
Yes, it is.
Oh, this is Sandra. I made it.
Hey, Sandra, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I wasn't sure because I had a conference call that wasn't over till forever. But anyway, moving on. I am so excited by this for the season. I think a lot of fans are, and not just because of the new players, but because we haven't seen them play since March, which is a long time, not just for the fans, but I think for the players, and I think that's some of what we're seeing in these first two games, not only that they have all these new teammates, but they themselves haven't played any really competitive ball in almost 9 months, and that's a long time for a professional athlete that plays any sport. Not just basketball, but tennis, golf, anything, to have that amount of time laid off, no matter what you do every day. So, it was really fun to watch. It's been fun to watch how Trey doesn't have to do everything, and he doesn't have to come in the fourth quarter and score 25 or 30 points to get us close to a win, whether we win or not. And I'm very optimistic for the season, but then I'm an optimistic Atlanta sports fan, because to be an Atlanta sports fan, you have to have a certain level of optimism, whether you want to or not. But I just wanted to, you know, come on the show and support you, because I try to. And,
thank you, Sandra.
Yeah, and just, you know, just listen to what your first caller was talking about, because I'm still learning a lot about the sport and the intricacies of the sport. I've been a fan all my life, but there's more to it than that. And I don't know if you've been watching some of the videos after the games, and they've been interviewing the players, and those have been really interesting and enlightening as to how they perceive their play and how they perceive all of the changes that the team has gone through this so far this season.
Yeah, definitely. Well, first of all, thanks, Sandra, for the support, of course. I appreciate you. You're a longtime listener. I appreciate that for sure. Definitely this year, in regards to getting a little bit more access than we're probably used to, has helped everybody, I think, kind of get ready for this season as far as anticipation-wise. That's really good to see, especially with all the new players. I mean, we have a lot of new players on this team, right? Exactly. And as Hawks fans, we know we've had some gripes about certain players have been on the team that weren't contributing that much. So is this a breath of fresh air a little bit as far as the free agency side of things to know, okay, we know who this person is and we know what they can do. We know who this person is, and we know what they can do. Hey, guess what? They all wanted to come to Atlanta. You know, so I think a lot of – exactly. So I think we're all getting used to that a little bit. Although, I mean, again, being a longtime fan and things of that nature, we know what's up. It's just a matter of it's good to actually verbally hear the players saying it. I think Bogdanovich – I can't remember. It was a post that I saw today. Oh, he posted that way. D-A-T, that way. Who gave him that? You know what I'm saying? I posted earlier. I was like, you know, he'll soon be seen at West End Mall at American Deli. Watch now. And
because, you know, I live in the SWAT, so, you know, pretty soon I'll be running into him often.
So it's all about the culture.
Oh, again, bloody vegan or something.
Exactly. We have a culture that people are drawn to, and all these players know about Atlanta. It's just a matter of the willingness to want to be there and someone showing that, hey, we want you here too, that it goes hand in hand. It's a two-way street, and we've just never had that organizational-wise in a long time. You know?
We haven't. And I mean, this was, I mean, even in a way from the beginning, it's amazing. Every team that Atlanta got as a pro team, because I shouldn't say this out loud, but I'm old enough to remember when they all came to town. there were just people who had money and they wanted a pro team, like the Smiths with the Falcons, and I mean the Braves didn't really become the Braves as we know them to Ted Turner bought them, but the initial ownership, I think the people just wanted a sports team.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to necessarily do what it took to take your team to be winners. And we saw that over and over, and I mean for decades. And now we have an owner, even though they're from California, who has come in and spent money, and they've done the right thing from a PR standpoint and really gotten out into the community to say we want to be here and we want to do something to help the community. And not only that, we finally got a GM who understands. And by that I mean who understands how to build a team and what it takes and the intricacies of free agency and contracts and all of this other stuff. And we, like you said, we've never had that from an organizational standpoint ever, even if we had good players. So, you know, because everybody talks about, you know, the day when they got rid of Neek, and that's one of those things. You wake up in the morning and this thing had happened. And, I mean, people, I mean, they're still stunned, but imagine that day that you found out. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Yeah, because it didn't make sense. Exactly. It just didn't make sense. And that was our star player. So it's just nice to see an owner who doesn't just talk about it, but be about it and is willing to spend the money to do it, you know. And that's what it takes. It takes brains and money. That's exactly what it takes. It takes brains and money to make these things happen. So it's nice to see.
Exactly. Exactly. That Dominique trade is still gnawing at all of us. And
it's a dagger in their heart.
Yeah.
That's right, Dominique.
Yeah.
It's a dagger in the heart.
We'll never get over that one.
But to your other point, and I've been saying this for a while, 646-652-4479, I got another caller I'm bringing in a second. Let me know if you got anything else, Sandra. But one thing I've always been saying, there's five things that makes your franchise successful over a period of time. You have an owner that wants to win and does what's necessary to win. He gets management to be able to let them do their jobs, and they do their job over a long period of time and are successful. You have to have a good to great coach. You have to have good to great players, and you have to be healthy. And over a long period of time, the Hawks just haven't had all those things happen at the same time. And this is as close as we've been. And we're seeing the results. I mean, this is not just like a 3-year rebuild. This has been like a 4 or 5 year rebuild. And we just happen to still be winning and making the playoffs a part of it. And a lot of people are just kind of down and out because we've missed the playoffs 2 years. And I'm like, try missing the playoffs for a decade straight. We hadn't had that in a while. There's teams in the East that still haven't made the playoffs in a while. Exactly, you know, and they're desperate.
And so
this little bit of time is not that bad, and look at the results of it. And so I think a lot of anticipation is based off of that, but I just keep saying to the fans, like, keep watching. Like, and I do understand there's some people who haven't watched a game since the 60-win season. There's still people who haven't watched a game since Neek got traded. At that point, they were just done. And they just watch the scoreboard every now and again. They see the Hawks lose, and they be like, oh, those sorry Hawks, and they brush it off. And I just roll my eyes at that, right? So, But I'm excited. I'm glad you're excited. I wish we could get to some games. I just don't know when that's going to open up, but we'll see what happens over time or whatnot. Anything else, Sandra, before I let you go?
I just wanted to, you know, come and listen and make my comments. And it's been a long day, so I'm not promising to stay till the end of it, but of your show, because I have to get up and go to work in the morning. Even though I work at home, I still work 9 to 5. So, but I'm glad you're still doing the show. And like I said, I'm excited. I got rid of YouTube TV because they got rid of Fox Sports South, and you know I might have to spend some money on Hulu because I can't deal with that app. But anyway, you know. So I might have to spend some money over the next 6 months, but I have to see my team. I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow night. I mean, you know, it's an exciting time to be a Hawks fan. I think it's a real exciting time. So
thank you,
Flora, inviting me, and I will definitely be on next week and listening to you.
Thank you, thank you. We'll see you soon.
All right. You guys have a great night.
Thank you. And that was Miss Sandra representing ATL, the SWATs, of course. Again, she's a longtime listener of the show. And I've been able to meet Sandra a few times at games. So it's always cool to meet listeners at games and things of that nature. DJ, any points that that Sandra made that you'd like to expound on? Anything that stood out?
The thing about the ownership, you know, spending money. I just think about the early Braves, the 91, 92 Braves. They didn't really spend a lot of money, but, you know, they had the veterans that knew how to play and that had the will to win. But when you look at those later Braves where you had Sheffield, Galarraga, and they went on those spending sprees, and, you know, we really didn't get to that championship level. So, we kind of do need owners to buy, you know, that's willing to spend money. But I just think around those Braves teams where they did spend a lot of money, and also those Falcons teams where, you know, where we spent a lot of money. And we didn't get anything out of it.
There
kind of is a balance, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's the money. It's the willingness to spend the money, but it has to be spent right. That's where the management comes in. They got to wait. They make the right moves. They have to do enough research, and they have to, you know, they have to do right by just not the fans, but the organization over a period of time for the money and the investment. I remember with the Braves, you mentioned the Braves. The Upton boys. There you go. And that just that right there held us back for a long time just because. And if anybody knows the Braves seasons during that time, you know what I'm talking about. So it can get real disappointing, you know, when the wrong moves are made and it's obvious that they're wrong. And but guess what? It's not our money. We can't do nothing about it, but it still hurts. 646-652-4479. Real brief. Let me get this other caller in. Got another caller. It's a great night for callers tonight. Go ahead, caller. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, Chris. This is John.
What's going on, John?
Oh, nothing much. I got to just dip in and dip out. I'm on a project. I'm still on that project. That's for coming to see you, Chris. I'm coming to see you. I promise you. And
make sure
I'm
you
coming.
Give me a holler. Make sure you give me a holler. I ain't going nowhere.
All right. Hawks. I'm ready. That's all I'm going to say. I'm ready. I just want to see the gelling process take place. And I know that's going to take a little bit because you have some new pieces here, and the pieces that you have are good quality pieces. You didn't go to Big Lots or Dollar General to get these pieces. You went to the big box stores and got these pieces. And with those types of pieces, it's a quality
that's
attached to them. It's not something that you got that, you know, you were in a tight, didn't have money enough to get the good stuff. You went and spent the money. And two, now the other gentleman, who is this you have on here today tonight?
It's BJ.
Oh, BJ, what's going on, boss? I'm going to say this, and to his point, you see, we will go out and buy the wrong thing if not watched. If we don't know what we're doing, we'll go out and buy the wrong thing quickly. Then get it home, take it out of the pretty box that it was in, and find out you have a bunch of nothing that you spent top dollar for, or something used that you got at the used car lot that won't even crank because battery's dead or no gas in it. And that's basically what we've been doing. And that's the curses that our ownerships have had from time to time. Now, Arthur Blank, he's a fine fella. The man is ready to spend money, but the coaches and the general managers that he's acquired have not been up to the task to get the right thing for the team at the right time. The philosophy of the team, you know, was in question from the very jump as to who it is that you're supposed to be. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Dallas Cowboys, well, I go back to the Steelers. Now, the Steelers is going to be a great big offensive line, great big defensive line, hard-nosed running, some passing if it's necessary. You know, and you know what you're going to get every week out of them. You know, you're going to have to out-physical them when you go talk to them. And that's something that we need to get here as far as the Falcons are concerned and the Hawks. You know, we need to develop a philosophy and stick to the philosophy and buy pieces that fit the philosophy. You know, just don't go out there and buy the first shiny piece that you see on the shelf that somebody else passed by and you saw them pass by. There's a reason for it.
Boom, boom, baby!
Yeah, you know, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. You know, I'm sick of, such and such, because you see it on Facebook in the Bird Gang group and New Pack City group. Oh, such and such is free, what you think? And you'll get 100 different opinions about this particular person. But first thing I ask myself, can he shoot? Oh, yeah, he can defend. He can defend. Can he score? No, we don't even score. We'll let somebody else score.
For love of God, he just shot a three.
Yeah, you know, just like Josh Smith, the worst disappointment I've had in recent years around here with the Hawks. I mean, all that talent could have made a living at the free throw line just by getting fouled. You develop a post-up game with your leaping ability, man, they're fouling you every time. Oh,
he should have averaged 12 free throws a game.
Yeah, I mean, all you had to do was post up. Same thing with Dwight Howard, who lucked himself into a ring. You know, I think, come on, man. You know, well, I just wanted to say that now. I know that you're talking about the Hawks now, so I'm going to leave the Falcons alone because that is a dead subject. They, you know, like New Yorkers like to always say, he's dead to me. You're just dead to me.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about
it. It's been tough.
You know, hey, man, it takes a special breed to be a Falcons fan, gentlemen. Hey, man, you either have to be drinking, smoking, infusing, or inducing to be a Falcons fan. Go ahead.
No, I just appreciate you getting a chance to call in. Like I say, you're working and stuff. But like I said, it's and even Sandra said, you know, you got to, if you're a long time Atlanta sports fan, period, it's been a lot, you know, and the hope that you do have, your anticipation every year, and then you get to the point of the year where, okay, well, it's not happening, you've been eliminated, and then you have to psych yourself up, okay, well, now we're on next year's, you know, season already, you know, it's tough over decades, of course, with some of us, right? But it's those times where you do have some hope that makes it exciting still again. And if it's your team, again, I always say at a certain point, you know that there's a chance your team may never win, but there's also a chance that they might. And that's what that's part of being a fan. If you can't do that, you can't really be a fan of a team. It just comes with the territory. So that's why this Hawks season coming up is such a big one, because for the city of Atlanta, it's been a tough 2020. So we'll see what happens, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I got to go in here and earn this money they paying me. So have a good show, and whenever you come on next, I'll be watching out, and I'll be able to spend a little bit more time with you. And we'll go ahead and hash this Falcons things out, because I suspect, these two Tampa Bay games, and that Chiefs game—that's not going to be pretty.
We're going to win the Chiefs game. I'm going to put it out there. It's going to happen.
That will enrage me more than anything else.
That's why I said it. It's going to happen. We're all going to look at the score. And it's going to be like, you beat the Chiefs.
Yeah. And that, you know. Oh boy. All right. Well, gentlemen, you all have a good night.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one. That was our man John Harris representing the A, 646-652-4479. DJ, if you want to stay on one more segment, I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. We're talking Hawks tonight and any other thing that might slip in there sports-wise for Atlanta. This is Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. All right, we are back. This is Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio, episode 95. I can't believe we've gotten to 95 episodes. We've been on the air for a little over 2 years now, working on our third season, but this pandemic has held back a few episodes for sure. There was a gap there almost of 2 months where we didn't do a live show. We did some spot shows here and there and whatnot, and I've tried to keep up with things on Facebook Live and things of that nature, but it's just been tough trying to keep things steady just per work and secular work, family, things of that nature. It's not easy when you're doing everything on your own. You know, we don't have a network backing us. We don't have ESPN or, you know, anything like that going on. We're strictly doing it on our own, myself and my co-host Jordan Jackson, who wasn't able to make the show tonight. But definitely over 2.5 years, we've had great support. We've had some great guests. Don't forget, we've had some tremendous guests over the years. We've had Bob Rathman, who does the broadcast on TV for the Hawks. We've had Steve Holman, who does the radio broadcast for the Hawks. And we've had both of those guys on several times. I'm going to try to see if we can get both of them on before the season starts, because it's been such a crazy year. But we would love to have the guys on. We've had Dominique Wilkins on, the Hall of Famer, where you heard the sounder as far as the dagger. The reason we have that is because he was on the show, if you didn't know. And we've had others as well on the show. We've had John Collins, starting power forward for the Atlanta Hawks, on the show. So we've had some great guests on the show. I'm still working on Trae Young, by the way. And, again, we've been excited to be on the air for this period of time for a new show. It's not easy to be on for, 6 months, much less 2+ years. So very, very excited about what's to come in 2021. So we've been talking Hawks tonight, and I still got our guy DJ on the line with us talking Hawks basketball. We've talked philosophies as far as offense. We haven't really talked about defense a lot. We might talk about that in a little bit. We've had Sandra on, excited Hawks fan over the years. who's just excited for the season to begin again. She mentioned how, you know, the team hadn't played for 9 months. That's a long time. And I mentioned that also myself. If you play basketball and then you stop playing basketball for a long period of time and then you start again, it is not easy. Mentally, you have to do a lot to get yourself prepared to be on the court to do stuff. Like, think about just jumping, running, all that stuff. If you haven't played, even if it's just a few weeks, much less months, I know when I have gaps, I'm scared. Right now, I'm scared what I'm going to do if I get back on the court anytime soon. This COVID-19 has stopped me from playing. We had a regular game that we used to play on Sundays together. We stopped that months ago. I don't know what I'll do in the organized game right now. You know, so I'm scared. Shoot, I'll remember how to shoot. I don't know. We'll see. But for professional athletes, it has to be like crazy desperate, you know, to not be on the court and not be even practicing and things of that nature. And then you finally get it. It's like, oh, wow, all this stuff is happening now. Now I got to be, you know. And you saw how James Harden's looking out there. But anyway, that's another story. 646-652-4479. Talking about defense, what do you think we're going to do on the defensive side of the ball? We know our draft it was supposed to fill in maybe one of those holes. What do you think about the number six pick in the draft for us, DJ? And what do you think we're going to do on the defensive side? You kind of mentioned Clint already, but what do you think about the rest of the players on the defensive side?
Well, it's like this. I haven't mentioned it, but I'm a real big Alabama fan.
Okay.
And when you talk about defense, yeah, we were a defensive-minded team. But there was a time when Saban kind of realized that, you know, we need to be able to put up points. And honestly, when you look at, you know, the Alabama defense, you know, we get timely stops. We don't get, you know, we just not shutting people out. You know, we shut the scrub teams out, you know, paying them to come play us. But I mean, when you talk about playing Clemson and those teams that can be able to put up a lot of points, you just gotta, you know, rely on your offense. So I'm not really concerned about defense, honestly. When you look at defense in the NBA, I don't think you'll be gonna be able to shut down. I mean, totally shut down LeBron James or James Harden or some of the top offensive players in the league. I'm all about offense. I'm all about being able to put up points. And one of my favorite when it comes to games that I've watched over the past, I say, 10 years was the Golden State game. When Golden State came here, you know, and we beat them. And we beat them because we could go toe-to-toe with them. We could put up the threes. We had the players. And that happened during the 60-win season. I mean, we couldn't stop. Well, there were times where we could stop them. But when it comes to matching their offense, we matched them toe-to-toe. And, you know, we beat – you know, the top team in the league that night. So I'm all about being able to score. I'm all about offensive weapons, and I'm not really concerned about the defense. When it comes to defense, you got to be able to get timely stops. But totally shutting down, nah.
I'm not a proponent of trying to shut anybody down just because there's a lot of players on the other team. And you can slow down people for sure, but I don't think it's so much about stopping a particular player or shutting down anybody as much as team defense, because it's cool to try to outscore another team, but eventually to win the game, you do have to stop somebody. And the timely stops definitely come into play, but the problem with our last two seasons is we haven't stopped anybody. And again, half the times we're out of the game in the first quarter and a half. We're down by 37 points all of a sudden. Like, you go get up to get a beer or something, you come sit back down, and somehow we're down 22 points. How does that happen? game after game after game. And I always go back to that Memphis game, you know, where Travis Slank finally comes out to say this is unacceptable when that wasn't the first blowout of the year. And then we go back to Memphis to play them again, and we still get blown out again. That disturbed me. You see what I'm saying? At a certain point, you have to show some kind of interference from the other team putting the ball in the basket, laying it up, you know, wide open threes all the time. Why can't we stop the pick and roll sometimes? Or, you know, some of this is just like basic stuff to where, you know, and if anybody remembers my basketball videos on Sunday nights, the basics of basketball, there's just a lot of stuff that just wasn't happening. And so it was like, if it's being taught, either they ain't listening or maybe it's not being taught that well. Something's going on, because some of the stuff you would see is it's like that's unforgivable. That can't happen. You know, now sometimes it was effort and you can see that, which is also a problem. But for me, you know, I know, yeah, you're not going to shut down James Harden. He's going to get his. Steph Curry, he's going to get his. That's going to happen in any kind of type of sport where your star is going to be your star. However, what about everybody else? Because everybody else can't keep doing it too. And that's where the problem comes in mostly with us, is that it ain't just Steph Curry. It's Clay, it's Green, it's everybody, you know. And you know, we got swept by a team of, you know, we didn't get beat because of LeBron James. At the end of the day, we got beat because of Tristan Thompson and Della Hobbit. And that's what is not cool to me. You know, I need to be able to see that we can put up some kind of a stoppage of the bleeding sometimes, just sometimes, on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So if that starts happening, again, we got shooters this year that really can shoot. And we're not going to have those long gaps of not being able to score. We can score, but then we have those gaps. I think those gaps have been tightened up big time. And with Clint in there, you're not going to have so many offensive rebounds by the other team that always kept on hurting us last year, because you only had one person basically rebound, and that was John. You know, I believe the concentration on those couple of things is going to help us out. And that's 10, 12 wins possibly right there that we didn't get last year. But definitely, yeah, scoring, yeah, we're going to, yeah, it's a scoring league now. I mean, all the rules say, okay, you want to score 155 points in an NBA game, go ahead and do it. But eventually those seven-game series are going to come back, and that's when it's going to be tough. At the end of the day, the Lakers won their championship because they stopped Miami from scoring, you know. And I think that's going to be a big deal to see Hunter and his transition, to say this is his second year. He got the first year out the way. Cam keeps on talking about how he wants to be known as a defensive player. You know, John Collins saying he's going to be improving on defense, having Clint here. And then, you know, all the other additions, Rondo, Dunn. And, of course, I'm going to see if I can pronounce the name on the air for the first time correctly. Onyeka Okongwu. When he gets healthy, what he's going to be able to do in there. Mixing it up with people, his energy, you know, his willingness to put his body in front of people, the pick and roll. You know, again, there was that one Milwaukee game where they ran the same play, I swear to God, five straight times because we couldn't stop it. Either the post player would not come out to defend the shooter, or somehow when that did happen, nobody switched and they always had a layup. And that just angered. I was almost about to go on the court myself. I was like, this is ridiculous. What are you doing? So it's just those little things that turn into 10-point leads all of a sudden. That's what gets me sometimes. So we're going to see. That's why I said it's only been two preseason games. So it's hard to see a lot of change. But that's something that I'm going to be watching for the first 10 games of the season to be like, this is – we only got it's 72 games this year. So think about that. That first 10-game stretch is going to be like – it could be do or die for a lot of teams right off the bat this year, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think – but just to go – piggyback on what you said, yeah, we do need to get stops. And there's times I know last year where we've gotten stops. But when we get the stops, I've seen us, you know, come down and shoot a three and miss. And not capitalize off the turnover. And also, I've seen times where we get a stop, we get a turnover, and then we turn the ball right back over. So You got, yeah, we got to get, but also we have to capitalize off those stops and capitalize off those turnovers. And you got to capitalize off of them by shooting those high percentage shots off of turnovers. And that's something that I want to see us do this year. And that's something that needs to be preached by the coaching staff. Because you can't, if you get a stop, you shoot a three, you miss. What's the good of the stop?
Oh no, you're right.
All your defensive effort is going down the drain. And when you look at defense, you got to have team defense. That was my favorite team, the 60-win team, because we played team defense. There was no, you know, flat out. There was no defensive star on the team. We just helped. We knew how to rotate, and that came with veterans. But also this year, that's where I want to see, you know, an improvement on team defense. You know, helping people out if they get beat. There are times where I've seen us, you know, get beat, especially last year. You see a player playing one on one, they get beat, but there's no help.
There's nobody.
There's no help coming from the weak side.
Yep.
There's no help coming from the weak side. They just stay with their man, you know, at the 3-point line. At some point, you got to realize, okay, I need to help. You know, I'd rather have an open three than, you know, give up a shot at the basket, you know. So that all comes with, you know, improving, and I hope that's something that's implemented by our coaching staff.
Well, that's going to be the thing, because it's not like we don't got the legs, right? All these guys are young, mm-hmm. like 22, 21, 23, 24. These guys are not like old over the hill. And you got the ones who are 28. I mean, that's still not old. They can move their feet. And it's a matter of, can you keep people in front of you? And if you get beat, yeah, I need somebody to switch. And then I need, if the ball's rotating around, I need y'all to rotate around. I'm like, this is just like, again, for me, it's simplistic because, you know, I've been watching basketball for 30 plus years, playing basketball all my life. And this is just the stuff that you just know to do. But it's like, it's an expectation factor that is professional basketball that they would do it too. And it gets frustrating when you don't see it constantly. And then you see other teams mm-hmm. doing it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, even with Nate McMillan coming in on, you know, to help out some, I think we're going to see some. I mean, we almost have to see some just because he's there. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what all of his teams have won a lot of games, you know, over a period of time, and they've played a lot of defense, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they were good at it. So I think
yeah.
that has to come into play just by default. But
mm-hmm.
again, until it's executed, we don't know. And that's
yeah.
what I'm tentative about, but I'm hopeful because we just have to do better. You know, because I swear
yeah.
to God, if we keep seeing those wide open threes and or those layup lines, I mean, I just can't count how many games we lost just because we couldn't just stop layups from happening.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating,
and
you know what I'm saying? So,
and those little things like taking a charge. I remember who was that? That was on the team like 2 or 3 years ago. That wasn't afraid to lay their body on the line. You know, take a charge. I think Ilya Sova.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, man, true. He'll stand in the lane. He ain't gonna let you get to the basket. He's gonna take a charge or it's gonna be a block, whatever. But you ain't getting to the hole uncontested. And that's something that our young people gotta realize. Sometimes you gotta lay your body on the line. Take a
yeah.
charge. Yeah.
Now, that's a great point. Unencumbered. I mean, even if it's called a foul, make them hit the free throws. I mean, it's some of those basics of basketball, but it comes into winning. And those little plays can change the course of a game very subtly. And again, that's where the longevity comes in of playing over a period of time and just learning those things. And can these young guys start incorporating that? And I think that's where Rondo is going to come into play a big part, because he's been there doing that. You know, he's won a lot of games. He's won championships and whatnot. We all have seen him on the court, and all the players know who he is and know what his experience is, and they're going to listen to him. And one of the big things I'm looking at is there ain't going to be no more non-accountability on the player side. Whatever on the coaching side, okay, I'll take that out of consideration, but there's going to be people talking when people are out of position. I'm excited to see that, because that's going to hold the accountability factor, at least for the players, because, again, for me, if the coaches can't do it, it has to be the players. You know, and again, there's a certain times last year where it's obvious to an extent that it's not that big a deal if you don't do something, because you're not going to get called out by the coaching staff. You could just see that. And I'm not calling out the coaching staff, but there's times where you've seen it's like somebody needed to say something on this particular play because it was blatant, and they just walk out to the bench and no one says nothing. And I'm like, that's not – I mean, and again, we watch a lot of basketball. That wouldn't happen on this team. That wouldn't happen on that team. Somebody needs to get bitched, you know. and that's what I'm looking at as far as his growth overall, to say we can't waste another season of Trae Young. Trae Young started the All-Star game last year as a Hawk. You know the Hawk do that. You know what I'm saying? We need to be able to utilize him along with the rest of the team to say we have a player that if we get into a seven-game series, we have a great shot to advance all the time just because we have Trae Young. And then you have John Collins, and then you have Hunter, and you got Cam, and you got all these other guys coming off the bench, got shooters galore. We're going to be problems for a lot of people over a long period of time. And we have a core that, you know, I believe in, that we can see a championship happening. We couldn't say that with the previous core. Again, Al Horford was never going to be more than 12-7. Jeff Teague was never going to be more than 12-5.5. When both of them should have been 24-12 players. They had all the skills and abilities, you know, and it's sad that we never got to see it, you know, over a period of time, but they got a lot of money for that time too, right? And so for me, it's like, let's see what these new moves are going to be made, but we need to keep that. If we gave Al Horford and Josh Smith and all these other guys that time frame to do what they did, why can't we give 3 or 4 or 5 years to these guys? You see what I'm saying? Because that wouldn't make no sense. You gave Marvin Williams a long time, didn't we? You know, mm-hmm. Are we still paying Marvin Williams? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we might still be paying Speedy Claxton for all I know. But you're not willing to pay John Collins? Or what happens when Trae Young is up for his first money? You know what I'm saying? It's like get real. And, again, Milwaukee Bucks keeping Giannis, you know, and other players are staying where they want to be. Dame. You know, and of course, you know, Dirk played his whole career in Dallas. Why can't we have it like that? We should have it like that. Again, me and Sandra talked about that earlier. You know, we're still feeling the effects of the Dominique Wilkins trade. There's these young players, they see that. They know about that. They remember that. And they still holding Atlanta against us on that one. You know what I'm saying? So I'm hoping that this free agency year that we've had will prove, okay, we're making the effort. We're trying to do this. And if they sign John Collins, I think that's definitely going to, like, turn some heads at that point to say, okay, they're really serious about making this team a contender, to say they're just not in Atlanta, but they're in there for the championship too. So I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping everybody else is excited. That's why I wanted to kind of try to get a show in before the end of the year. We're going to try to get a couple more. As the season progresses and whatnot, trying to get regular again. Like I said, it's been hard. But this is a big year for the Atlanta Hawks. You know, we've been in the playoffs. And, again, you can't win a championship without being in the playoffs. It's very simple, right? Anytime you're in the playoffs, you have as good a chance as any. Can you outplay the other team for a period of time? Yes or no. That's it. That's all it comes down to. But everybody can't win the championship every year, right? The Miami mm-hmm. Heat was in the championship, though, this year. So it means that anybody can be in the championship from one year to another. I don't think everybody thought that Miami Heat would be in the championship this year, right? I didn't, you know, but they were there. So anybody mm-hmm. can do it in the East. We got as good a shot as any, really. So, GJ, any final thoughts as far as the upcoming season? Anything about our draft picks, any free agency? items you want to mention before we go?
Well, thing is, man, when it comes to expectation, you know, when we get our expectations high, especially following Atlanta sports teams, you know, they kind of let us down. And right now I don't have, you know, any lofty expectations for the team. I'm just, you know, okay, let's just see and see how it plays out. Because, you know, when we had the 91, I just go back in history, 91 Braves, no one expected it, but it surprised us and it energized us. When it comes to the 60-win team, I mean, I don't even think they expected the Hawks. Well, in the preseason, they weren't picking us to get to the playoffs that year, but we surprised them, you know. And when it comes to, you know, Father getting the Super Bowl, they weren't expected to go to the Super Bowl a couple of years back, but, you know, they made it. So I just think people just, when it comes to being fans, let's just, you know, let's just let it play out. Let's just let them play. And, you know, hopefully it'll end up on a good note. But for me, I can't get my expectations up. I can't get my hopes up anymore.
Oh, man, come on. Come on, DJ. We're going 72-0, man. Come on now. I'll start it off.
I'm not going to get my hopes up. I'm tired. I can't take any more as a Atlanta
it's
sports
been a
fan.
Tough year.
So
yeah,
I'm gonna just, you know, just let it play out. And, you know, if we make a deep playoff run, then, you know, that'll be a good surprise for us. So that's all I got.
Appreciate it. Well, it's gonna be a fun year, that's for sure. Even though, again, I'm not sure how we're gonna get to see any games at State Farm right now with things as they are, you know, rules and regulations and stuff and health-wise and stuff and safety. It might be a while before we get to see a game in person, but we'll enjoy on TV and listen to on the radio for sure, and we'll just keep up. And all we can do as fans is just root for our team, and that's what we're going to do this year. DJ, thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate the support. Glad you were able to hang in there for about an hour or so talking some Hawks. Definitely call in again when you get a chance, man.
Yeah.
And that was Mr. DJ out of ATL. Had a lot of people repping ATL today. That was really cool. Sandra and also John, all from Atlanta. Like I said, it's cool to get to meet Hawks fans from around the country or around the world even. You know, we have a fellow Atlanta Hawks fan that's in Australia, Matthew Blanche. The Ocon Twins pay attention to my sports show over there in London, of course. They haven't gotten a chance to go to a Hawks game. They've been to a Braves game. When they were visiting the United States for the first time, I took them to a Braves exhibition game. I think we were playing the Yankees. I don't think we won, though. It was cold. I don't know what was going on, but it's crazy. But they enjoyed themselves, kind of. We'll see. If we can get them to a basketball game next time they're in America. That's going to do it for tonight's show. Again, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Again, it's been a while since we've been on the air live. I was going to try to do 2 hours. I won't be able to do so, unfortunately. But next week, we'll see if we can get on the air again. What my plan is to kind of dip and dive and try to do a few shows a week, but maybe an hour at a time instead of a full two-hour show. And then going into 2021, we'll get back into doing two-hour shows. It's just my work schedule has been kind of bonkers. So it's been tough to try to pull stuff together right now, among other reasons. I won't get into their personal. But thanks for all the support over the last 2.5 years for sure. We've had some great discussions in Atlanta sports. Again, around ATL is about Atlanta sports as a whole. So we talk about the Falcons, the Hawks, the Braves, of course, the Dream, Atlanta United. Of course, we talk about our college teams as well, UGA, Georgia Tech, Georgia State, everybody, you know. So we have a good time talking Atlanta sports. So we will be back again, hopefully next Wednesday. We'll see what happens by next Wednesday, see if we can get on again. And we might do a change of schedule times. I'm still kind of playing around with that. You know, we used to start the show at 9 o'clock. And then it transferred all the way to 11, and then we went back to 10, and 10 we've stuck with for a while now, and it's worked out pretty decent. We've changed the days a few times, Tuesday, Thursday, but Wednesday is the one that we stuck to the most. So next year we're probably going to start 10 o'clock Wednesday night, 2 hours, and it will go from there. There's a possible expansion to a third hour. We'll see how that goes. I don't know. It's going to be kind of tough, but we're going to try to work it out. And there are some other things, you know, with networks we're trying to push our show to. So you never know what might happen. Someone might pick us up. That'll be really exciting, of course. But until next time, I'm going to get out of here. I'm getting tired, actually. But thanks again for John, DJ, and Sandra for calling in. Everybody else who did listen on the live show, also on the Facebook page on New Pack City. Actually, wait, before I go, let's see. I got a comment or two. Sadiq from the New Pack City page on the Facebook Live says he likes his team a lot. He thinks that we can go far this year, and people think we are fighting to just make the playoffs, but I think we're aiming for a championship. Trey is hungry. Trey said from the draft, his draft day, that he wants to go to the playoffs. We should have made the playoffs his first season. We all know the injuries and everything. We have, I think, three starters plus a main person off the bench hurt that first half of the season, right off the bat, you know. The second season, of course, was John Collins' injury, you know. So this third season of Trae Young, you know, there's a lot to be said about what we should have done and what we could do. Because even the last two seasons of us not really playing that much defense, we weren't that far away, literally, you know. And if that combination of John Collins and Trae Young had played a little bit more, we have been in the playoffs, is basically. So this year, yeah, it's wide open in the East. Just look at the East. There's nothing guaranteed. Ain't nothing guaranteed that the Nets are going to take it. There's nothing guaranteed Philadelphia, really, you know. Miami, they might not be able to come all the way back, right? There's a lot of openings out there in the East, and it's up to the Hawks to say we really are going to do this. And again, whether it be on the coaching side and is seeing the improvements on that end, because we know that there were some deficiencies there, you know, on the offensive and defensive side of the ball on the court, there were some deficiencies there. The bench, there were some deficiencies there. A lot of those holes have been fixed, at least on paper, you know. So that's going to be a huge deal. Will it all translate out? It remains to be seen. We ain't going to see that all in preseason. Like I said, after game one, I was like, well, I need to see more. Game two, I saw more. Now game three, let's see if they can carry that over and say, okay, well, here's this part of the game that we're also addressing, you know. So, and then by the 23rd of December, let's see what we got after the first 10 games. And then go from there. And those are going to be the 10-game slots. 10 games, 10 games, 10 games, you know, 10 games all the way to playoffs. Our first opportunity at a 7-game series. Again, I believe, by on the shadow of a doubt, that nobody in the NBA wants to play the Hawks in a 7-game series strictly because you got Trae Young on the team. And if you don't know why that's a big deal, you weren't watching basketball the last two seasons. You weren't watching the first season of preseason with Trae Young, where they were double teaming the boy right off the gate in the inbound. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, come on now, what? If they recognize how much of a threat he is, how come fans in Atlanta can't understand it? You see what I'm saying? And then, of course, last year he started the All-Star game as point guard in the Eastern Conference. That's a big deal, you know. If you don't recognize that, I'm sorry for you. And if you can't recognize the duo of him and John Collins, again, John Collins on our radio show around the ATL mentioned that they want to be better than Stockton and Malone. Just for the fact that they even said that, you see what I'm saying? John Collins wants to be a Hall of Famer and a world champion as a Hawk. I ain't never heard Josh Smith say that, or Al Horford, Jeff Teague, or none of them. And these guys have been saying it from day one. You see what I'm saying? And I think these last 3 or 4 years of seeing these young guys speaking on that terms helped the free agency stretch that we had this year of convincing people this is the destination. Everybody knows Atlanta is the city, but playing here has just been taboo as far as on the NBA side. Now, on the NFL side, it's a little bit different. On the baseball side, we know the ownership thing there. I don't even want to talk about that. We talked about that earlier in the show, but, you know, anyway. But you have a lot of people who are really selling Atlanta right now, and that was proved by the contracts that were signed this year. And going into next year, we'll kind of have our pick of who, you know. Yeah, Giannis signed, but I wasn't really too high up on him coming here anyway as far as the fit part. I know what everybody says, and it's cool and all, but I'm looking at him in the playoffs. I don't see anything changing anytime soon unless he changed that one part of his game. Now, if he changes that, then yeah, okay. But if he's like that forever, he's not that much of a difference maker all of a sudden, is he? Just saying. Latif is on New Pack City page. What's up? Thanks for everybody who watches this. And if you are watching this after the fact, make sure you share it with some people. I appreciate it. So shout out to Latif, Sadiq. Let's see, Sandra, of course, John and DJ for participating either online or live on the show. Appreciate that. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go ahead and play the intro music. Y'all take care. This is Chris on Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Go Hawks. And if I can find the intro. See how long it's been since I've done the show? We'll be right back.